Welcome to the K-Beauty Podcast, a love letter to all things K-Beauty, hosted by me, Sugar Peaches, from Sugar Peaches Loves, a German and English beauty blog dedicated to beauty products from around the world, with a special passion for Asian and indie brands. What is up, my lovelies? How are you doing? Are you feeling as cold and wintry as I currently do here in Germany? Or are you lucky enough for spring to already knock on your door wherever you are? Now, today's topic is heavily connected to the environment. Not just the weather, but all sorts of things that can trigger your skin. Holoaging is our episode title, so you better set the vibe for your personal listening experience, because this topic is all sorts of fascinating. Promised. Hi guys, welcome back. Last week's episode was so much fun for me, even though I still feel like audacity is slowly killing me softly each week. Ugh. The editing process for this is always a bit of a nightmare, but it's getting better, slowly but surely. Now, holoaging was on my radar for a while, but lately it seems to become this massive thing that I keep reading about everywhere. Even my sister sent me a link to an article about this. And, you know, she usually doesn't specifically Google skincare topics like I do. She's not a blogger or anything. So holoaging seems worth talking about, right? So I felt, why not do this today and dedicate a whole Key Beauty podcast episode just to this buzzy skincare term. Now, in order to talk about this, we first need to establish what the heck holoaging actually is, because you might just have read the title and gone, what the heck is this? Fair enough. So this slightly tongue-twisty term refers to the aging and skin-damaging effects of pollution and other environmental factors on the skin. Specifically, holoaging refers to the fact that pollution can cause premature aging, and so it is often connected to early anti-aging care products. Now, I will be totally honest with you guys here. I always kind of scoffed at the idea of pollution harming the skin specifically, and that we need actually targeted products to prevent this damage from pollution. You know, this idea of anti-polluaging products. But guess what? I was totally wrong, because there is more and more scientific studies that actually do confirm that, yes, pollution, specifically various types of air pollution, does have a proven damaging effect on the skin, and it does actually prematurely age the skin. Science people, I found quite a few academic articles on the subject, and they all point towards the same truth. Carbon, dust, especially ultrafine dust, diesel exhaust, dirt, both industrial dirt as well as domestic dirt. You know, for instance, if you use, shall we say, dirty heating materials in the winter, all of these cause harm to our skin. The so-called particulate matter, or PM for short, is what poisons our city air, and it is also what harms our skin. Especially low molecular PMs can pass scarily easily through the skin barrier, and once they have managed that, they really do wreak havoc on our skin. So let's take this one step at a time. First of all, what exactly can pollution due to the skin? Well, firstly, these particulate matter particles, these PMs, generate free radicals. And free radical damage, as we all have learned by now, I think, at least if we are into skincare and anti-aging skincare, is one of the main reasons why we age. Okay, this is very simplistically formulated, mind you, but I'm not a chemist or a medical researcher, so I'll just stick to the simplistic descriptions, because otherwise I don't actually know enough about the topic. I hope that's okay. So basically, free radical damage causes aging. Let's just stay on that level. Furthermore, pollution causes inflammation. One article that I read spoke of, I quote, an inflammatory cascade, meaning that the more of these harmful PMs manage to penetrate the skin barrier, the more they cause the skin barrier to break down, which in turn leads to even more harmful matter entering and causing damage to the skin. Inflammation is another big problem that leads to premature aging, and researchers also believe that it may actually be a strong factor in the formation of skin cancers. So, yeah, really scary stuff, isn't it? In fact, air pollution may be as big a factor in the formation of skin cancer as sun damage. So, that's saying something, because we all know how important it is to shield our skin from the harmful rays of the sun. Toxic air particles are also a factor in aggravating or possibly even causing skin skin diseases such as acne and rosacea. When it comes to the premature aging of the skin, another super worrying effect of these pollutant materials in the air is the fact that it can aggravate the breakdown of collagen in the skin. We already talked about collagen in that podcast episode on Asian skincare trends, which, by the way, seems to be the most popular one so far of all the podcast episodes. Interesting. Anyway, I did tell you about peptides back then and explained how peptides can help possibly stimulate collagen production. Basically, collagen is an amino acid that is directly responsible for, you know, that lovely youthful plumpness of the skin. So less collagen means more sagging and more wrinkly skin usually. So that's really scary to think that pollution can possibly cause collagen to break down even faster than the aging process already does by itself. Hyperpigmentation is another skin concern that is aggravated by pollution in the air, and that's pretty depressing and, again, kind of scary if you're already genetically predisposed for hyperpigmentation. Let me just tell you a little anecdote to stress these findings. And back then, I always thought I was just imagining this, mind you. When I moved back to Germany from New Zealand a couple of years ago, I had, okay, this sounds really humble bragging now, but if I may say so myself, I had really great skin back then. I had this completely acne-free, super rosy and super plump, basically best skin I ever had, okay? Amazing. Yes, I was taking good care of my skin back then, but I did not actually do anything super out there or complicated. This was before I discovered K-beauty, and I also didn't have a big enough budget to buy any great things. It was all quite basic stuff. I was already in my 30s as well, so you can't just say it was because of my youth. The aging starts usually when you're in your late 20s. So that can't really be it. Well, guess what? Returning to Germany and moving to an area with quite heavy industry nearby, guess what happened to my great skin? I got breakouts, I got a super tired and dull complexion, and a mysterious return of old allergies. I could have sworn I had disappeared while I lived in New Zealand. Mainly dust mite allergy, which I still have, it's so annoying, and a completely new allergy to scented products, especially scented washing powders. I have to be super careful with these. Never had that before. Never had problems with this in New Zealand. Never. Only when I returned from the fresh, clean air of New Zealand back into industrial Germany, there we were. Now, also interesting, I now live in a part of Germany that is close to the Black Forest, which is a beautiful nature reserve known for its high air quality. Freiburg, where I live now, is not free of industrial challenges, but it is much cleaner and greener than where I lived before, which was my hometown of Bonn. Bonn is close to Cologne and close to all sorts of coal mining or ex-coal mining areas, so all that stuff probably lingers still in the air. Freiburg isn't clean, green New Zealand, and I kind of fear I will probably never have such effortlessly great skin again. Unless maybe one day I can move back to New Zealand. But at least I can see these changes in my skin just from moving from Germany's industrial area to a city right next to a massive forest area where people actually travel to, relax and feel better because the air is so much cleaner. Also interesting to notice, again, purely anecdotal, but I do notice it, whenever I visit my sisters or my mom, who all live in larger cities with, again, far more industry and far denser traffic, my skin immediately worsens without any changes to my routine at all, to my skincare routine. It's funny that I always observed this kind of change in my skin, but on the other hand, whenever I read about anti-pollution skincare, I kind of laughed it off as a silly thing. Well, now I even have science to back up what I always noticed. Quite interesting. Now, since this is the K-beauty podcast, the question is, of course, why is polyaging a particularly K-beauty or Asian beauty topic? Well, as with many things in skincare, the Korean beauty industry has been on the case for a while already. While Western skincare brands are still just discovering this whole topic range and the potential to sell products by addressing these concerns that seem to grow as the urbanization process also grows. makes sense. Now, one main reason why polyaging has been a big thing in K-beauty for a long while already is, of course, the simple fact that Korea, especially Seoul, as a mega metropolis, has been fighting with intense pollution problems. I don't know if you've ever noticed how often the word dust is addressed on Korean skincare packaging. Dust protection is a big selling point for many skincare products in Korea. Now, this dust is no ordinary dust. What is meant here is a very specific meteorological phenomenon that occurs throughout large parts of East Asia, but South Korea in particular. Yellow dust, Asian dust, yellow sand, yellow wind, or China dust storms are some of the names given to this particular phenomenon. So what is this yellow dust? Well, it's actually a dust storm that originates in the deserts of Mongolia. The yellow-tinged dust particles are particularly fine and dry, and a very specific wind pattern makes it possible for these faraway dust storms to be carried right across Russia and China, all the way to Korea and Japan, sometimes even further, as far as the United States even. Now, even though this is a natural phenomenon, which usually happens in springtime, and has been recorded as a phenomenon as early as 1150 before Christ, the yellow dust occurrence has gotten worse with the onset of industrialization, with yellow dust now appearing almost year-round at certain intervals in South Korea, though it is still at its worst during springtime. Not only does the yellow dust appear more often now, the sand particles themselves, as nasty as they already are all by itself, aren't even the main problem with the yellow dust. Attached to the dust particles are all sorts of other nasty PMs, such as heavy metals, fungi, bacteria, viruses, pesticides, asbestos, and even microplastic ingredients, as well as carbon monoxide, and that's just naming a few of the nasties contained in the dust. Thus, it's no wonder that the yellow dust triggers a whole host of health problems, among them trouble breathing, pink eye, and of course, all sorts of skin concerns. Now, the Korean government likes to blame China for all of that heavy pollution drifting over to the Korean peninsula, but the truth is, yellow dust is not the only reason that Korea is now considered to be one of the most polluted countries in the world. They produce all sorts of pollution all by themselves. They do not need China for that. Most industrial nations do, mind you, so I'm not blaming Korea specifically, because, Germany has its own problems with industrialization, that's for sure. So if you combine all of these problems with pollution and the dust phenomenon, with Koreans' obsession with youthfulness and with perfect skin, as well as Korean beauty brands and their tendency to react to consumer wishes far more swiftly than Western brands, it really is no wonder that anti-polyaging has been a thing in Korea for a while we are still just discussing the possibility of this even existing as a problem. So what exactly is meant by the word polyaging? Where does it come from? All right, I'm guessing that you have already kind of figured it out yourself. Basically, polyaging is a term combining the idea of pollution and aging. So it is premature aging of the skin caused specifically by pollution in the air. The Korean skincare brand Blythe seems to be the first brand to offer products that specifically use the term polyaging to sell their skincare as a remedy. However, many brands and skincare products in Korea are marketed as fighting the effects of pollution on the skin and helping to strengthen the skin to defend itself against toxic PMs. So now that I have scared you sufficiently, of course I'm also going to talk about what exactly you can do to prevent polyaging. Of course, only to a certain extent, because scientists are still not 100% sure what exactly can help against all of these toxins. But especially dermatologists do have a couple of ideas what you can do at least to minimally fight off all of this stuff in the air penetrating your skin barrier. And especially Korean skincare experts are way ahead of the curve when it comes to addressing this issue. Now, a lot of what I read so far seems to be somewhat speculative, as I say, and of course you also have to keep in mind that people are trying to sell products right? But there are still ways to take good care of your skin so that it can fend off the toxic stuff found in your urban air much better. The most important thing you can do to fight against polyaging is to strengthen and to respect your skin barrier. Thus, experts emphasize the need to use skin barrier respecting products, meaning you should be careful to use, for instance, a foaming cleanser with a pH value of 5.5 or 6 ideally. Oil cleansing is also highly recommended if you live in an area with a lot of pollution. Even if you do not wear makeup, you should oil cleanse your face at night. Because you see, many of those nasty PMs are oil soluble, so you need an oil-based cleanser, such as a cleansing balm or a cleansing oil, to effectively wash them off your skin at night. I already gave a few recommendations for some gentle, great K-beauty cleansing products in earlier episode of this podcast, but for today's episode, I researched a few new products that may be extra suitable if you want to ward off polyaging. Most oil cleansing balms will do the trick really, but the Benilaco Clean It Zero Purity version is particularly gentle since it is formulated for people with highly sensitive skin. The Hamish All Clean Cleansing Balm contains a host of antioxidants as well as hydrating ingredients, and its cleansing action is extra strong. It's one of my all-time holy grail favorites. Then there is the Beauty of Joseon Cleansing Balm. This one is brand new, and I'm just basically putting it out there that I am dying to try this. I haven't yet, but I love the brand, and I would be very surprised if it isn't as excellent as the Beauty of Joseon Cream. So this one sounds like a winner to me already, even though I haven't tried it yet. When it comes to cleansing oils, the two Cool for School Black Oyo Zoiza, I probably completely mispronounced that, cleansing oil contains charcoal, which is said to be extra effective when it comes to cleaning off dust, dirt, and especially acne-aggravating toxins. It's also kind of cool to have a black cleansing oil. I'm quite into it. When it comes to second-step cleansers or foaming cleansers, there are many gentle yet thorough ones out there. And again, you can just listen to my episode on building your K-beauty routine if you want more recommendations. The Beyond Phytogenic Facial Foam is one I haven't mentioned yet. It contains antioxidants and organic ingredients, and I've heard great things about its gentle yet thorough cleansing action. Some gentle scrubbing is also recommended as a possibly even daily or at least every other day habit if you live in an area with high pollution. Now, enzyme powder washes are a super great way to gently exfoliate and thoroughly cleanse the skin. I am a massive fan of these. My current favorite is the by Wishtrend Green Tea and Enzyme Powder Wash. It's ultra gentle, but it makes my skin feel super smooth and soft. Oh, it's so good. And then there is the Tosawong Enzyme Powder Wash, which is a much cheaper and basically just as great alternative to the by Wishtrend Powder Wash. It's just that I have this thing for skincare with green tea in it, so I'm kind of team by Wishtrend. But both are great. Both work. Now, speaking of scrubs and such, there is a bit of a debate around whether or not stronger exfoliation is good or bad when it comes to protecting your skin barrier. Personally, I feel that if done right and with caution and respect, regular exfoliation can do wonders for the skin. I just think it's important to remember to afterwards always moisturize like your life depends on it, and to be watchful not to over exfoliate, which can happen quite easily, especially if you're new to stronger acid peels. I feel that different skin types handle daily exfoliation differently, so my advice would always be to experiment very carefully until you find your own rhythm, and don't let other people tell you how often you should or shouldn't exfoliate. I really think this is a very individual thing when it comes to your skin, and you just need to carefully introduce any new exfoliating product, especially, as I said, chemical peels. Now, my favorite two chemical exfoliators at the moment are the COSRX BHA Blackhead Power Liquid and the by Wishtrend Mandelic Acid 5% Skin Prep Water. Especially the latter seems to me to be one of the most gentle exfoliators I've ever tried, and it is also it has a very low percentage, so it won't over exfoliate your skin easily, really. Now, both of these are great for smoothing out rough skin texture and for cleaning out gunk from your pores, which in turn also also makes the pores look smaller and more refined. Now, Koreans actually prefer physical scrubbing to chemical peels, and there are a number of sugar and salt scrubs out there on the Korean beauty market. Sea salt scrubs in particular are seen as a great way to fight off the yellow dust, and so you will find them advertised as anti-pollution products quite often. The skincare brand Tiam makes a lovely, very gentle salt scrub that also smells amazing. It's called the Tiam Anti-Pollution Salt Facial Scrub. Tiam, which is a sister company of our beloved COSRX, also makes a great vitamin C serum, the My Signature Sea Source Serum. A highly concentrated vitamin C product is a great way to fight off free radicals, which are threatening your skin thanks to pollution. Vitamin C has done amazing things for my skin, and I feel it makes it just look more youthful and much fresher. You have to be a little bit... Okay, vitamin C is a little bit tricky. It probably would need an episode of its own. All of the girls who are part of the Snailcast podcast, all of their blogs have really good information out there on vitamin C and which forms of vitamin C work well and how to best put that stuff on your face. So I can recommend them as a source for really good information when it comes to vitamin C. Another skincare ingredient said to help fight off skin damage caused by pollution and by those nasty PMs is niacinamide or vitamin B3. Dermatologists say that taking it orally as a supplement could potentially support the body in becoming more resilient against air pollution. Since I'm no doctor, I don't want to say too much about taking any pills or any supplements. Please refer to a doctor for that. I can, however, give you some product recommendations when it comes to applying niacinamide topically, because niacinamide can help strengthen a weakened skin barrier, as well as reduce pore size, help with hyperpigmentation and uneven skin tones. It can make skin appear more bright and clear, and even improve the absorption rate of hydrating skincare products. Now, lucky for us K-beauty fans, Korean skincare products often contain high concentrations of niacinamide, often as high as 5%, which is said to be the ideal concentration. I've read a couple of sources that say that anything higher may actually be too much, especially for sensitive skin types. So do keep that in mind when you see higher percentages, especially from the ordinary. Products containing high concentrations of niacinamide, usually around 5%, are, for instance, my favorite holy grail. I love it and want to hug it and marry it and have its babies. Claire's freshly juiced vitamin E mask. This mask, I could probably do a whole podcast just basically raving about how amazing this particular product is. It's a sleeping cream, but you can also use it as a daily moisturizer. It also works really well as a makeup primer. I use it as a sleeping cream, and I really notice how it just helps brighten and even out my skin complexion. It's wonderful. Highly recommended from the bottom of my heart. I've currently run out of the product, and my skin misses it dearly, and I hope I can afford it again soon. The Sitmul Fast Turnover Rebuilding Serum is a fan favorite of the Reddit Asian Beauty Forum. It also contains 5% niacinamide, and apparently it's extremely good at brightening and evening out skin tones, as well as hydrating the skin. It is a little bit difficult to find for purchase, but I saw it on Amazon, so I'll make sure to link that, as always, in my episode notes so that you can get your hands at this. Now, I've mentioned The Ordinary before. If you really do feel you can take high concentrations of niacinamide, then look for The Ordinary Niacinamide 10% and Zinc 1% serum. It might be something for you if you just carefully introduce it, or maybe dilute it with another moisturizer or serum. I have heard from many people that suffer from acne or hyperpigmentation that this serum has massively improved their skin damage. I'm never sure what to think about The Ordinary, to be honest. I'm not a complete fangirl. Let's put it that way for now. But if I hear many people positively replying to this product, then I don't hesitate to recommend it. So for that price, you certainly can't go wrong. Now, another product that isn't a K-beauty product per se, but it was created by a K-beauty blogger, is the Holy Snails Shark Sauce. It also contains 5% niacinamide and is well tolerated, especially by sensitive and acne-prone skin types. And a lot of people also also use it as a brightening anti-aging serum. I've never heard of anyone who has tried this and not completely fallen in love. So again, I make sure to link the Holy Snails online shop in the episode notes. And then there is the Taiwanese Naruko Derma Lane Zero Dark Spot Brightening Moisturizer. Ugh, another mouthful of a title. It's supposed to be a great combination of brightening and hydrating ingredients. Again, 5% niacinamide. Lots of yummy humectants for your skin. It sounds amazing, even though I haven't tried it yet. I'm pretty sure I would love it if I ever managed to try it. It seems to be more of an ampoule or a serum than an actual moisturizer, but you know, that's not bad. If you want to get your hands on this one, the Naruko US shop currently has a sale, and I think it's even a 50% off crazy sale for that Derma Lane, that whole product range. So again, I make sure to link that. If pollution and toxic dust particles are a problem for your skin, then I recommend taking some time out, maybe once or twice a week, to do a deep cleansing mask pack. Either do a clay mask or a bubble mask or a product that combines both of these to really get out all that gunk and dirt in your pores. I'm a massive fan of the Tiam Sebum Drying Black Bubble Mask. Nothing cleans my skin more thoroughly and deeply than this super fun bubbling mask. It contains clays and charcoal and then has this whole deep cleaning bubble action that also always makes me laugh. So it's a skincaretainment at its best, I think. The Sum 37 White Award Bubble D-Mask is a K-beauty holy grail for many, though its high price has always put me off to try it, to be honest. But again, I'll make sure to link it because I do know a lot of people who swear by this. As for clay masks, the Innisfree Jeju Volcanic Pore Clay Mask is a classic and a longtime favorite deep cleansing sebum fighting wash off mask for many. It is quite drying though, so make sure to hydrate the heck out of your skin afterwards. Quite new on the scene is the Ligi Harm Grow Matcha Clay Mask Pack, which looks super promising as a gentle mask pack full with antioxidant rich matcha powder. And as I've said, I am a sucker for anything with matcha or green tea in it. Now, another thing that Koreans do during springtime, especially when the yellow dust is wreaking havoc on their skins, is to constantly mist their faces throughout the day. Well hydrated skin is better able to ward off those harmful PMs since it strengthens the skincare barrier and keeps skin more elastic and supple. Some beautiful facial mists with extra strong protection thanks to being chock full of humectants are, for instance, the quite new COSRX Low pH PHA Barrier Mist, which was specifically designed to strengthen the skin barrier and fight off pollution. Then there is the Benton Honest TT Mist, which I adore mostly because it really seems to coat the skin in this, this gorgeously dewy layer of moisture. It's an absolute favorite of mine. And another face mist that I've been eyeing up lately, I haven't tried it yet, but it sounds great, is the Natural Friend Moisture Nanocell Mist. It contains tiny particles of hydrating hyaluronic acid, beta-glucan, and aloe vera extract, which helps absorb moisture and keep it locked in the deeper layers of the skin. Also, as I've said earlier, hydration is absolutely essential when it comes to minimizing the harmful effects of pollution for your skin. So I would advise you to choose antioxidant-rich hydrating moisturizers that are packed full with humectants, both creams or gels, as well as extra hydrating ampoules. Now, the Eclado Respiration Ampoule is sadly quite pricey, but if you don't mind the higher price tag, you will find that this ampoule has been formulated specifically to help against polio-aging with heaps of antioxidants packed into this. And the whole ingredient list sounds super yummy if you ask me. Swanee Cocoa makes quite a lot of great ampoules with fermented skincare ingredients that can help repair premature signs of aging. The Black Yeast Fermentation Luminous Ampoule looks especially sexy if you ask me. It has fermented yeast extract, which is said to brighten and smooth tired and dull-looking skin. The Ligi Harm Hyal B5 Ampoule is a favorite of mine. I keep raving about this on Instagram. It just seems to provide this pure and ultra intense hydration like no other product I've ever tried before. Nothing makes my skin look as plump and well hydrated as this beautiful product. This will always remain a favorite of mine. I just wish it was just a little bit cheaper, but what can you do? Now, as for moisturizers, the Joseon Dynasty Beauty Cream contains everything you could wish for when it comes to polyaging preventing skincare, antioxidants, peptides, humectants galore, and a gentle formulation overall. It is really just a perfect moisturizer. I can really recommend it for all sorts of skin types. A newer and very interesting looking moisturizer is the Innisfree Derma Formula Skin Barrier Cream, which is also consciously formulated to assist the skin in forming a protective barrier against pollution and dust. I told you, this is becoming a bit of a buzz thing, both in Korean and Western skincare. Quite interesting, I have to say. And of course, Korean beauty brands also have their very own anti-pollution and anti-polyaging skincare line. So a whole skincare line just formulated to fight off yellow dust and pollution. I personally haven't really tried any of them out yet, and I can't really say for sure if they are better at targeting polyaging than, you know, your regular K-beauty products. But I'm just going to mention a couple because it might interest you and you might want to try them out. So there is the Misha Near Skin Dustless product line, targeting especially, as I said, the yellow dust, and the price range is quite good. So this might be a good one to try out if polyaging products can actually really do something special for your skin. Then there is the Laneige Anti-Pollution product line. I think this one is quite new, and I don't know yet how I feel about those because they seem a little bit overpriced, and this one, it doesn't seem to do much that is special. I don't know. I'll link it and you can have a look at it. And then there is the Jejun Anti-Dust skincare line. They mostly do sheet masks, but they also have a serum. And then Mijon also does a so-called dust cleanup mask and a dust cleanup serum. And of course, as I said, Blythe is really trying to brand itself as the skincare brand to target polyaging. And they have a anti-polyaging Himalayan pink salt cleansing water that, again, I'm not sure if it does anything special compared to other cleansing waters, but well, the packaging is really pretty and I do love Blythe, so I will certainly link that in my episode notes, even though I haven't tried it myself yet. So that's all on polyaging, and now for something completely different, here are the weekly Fave Craves and Misbehaves. Yes, we have arrived at the weekly Craves, Faves, and Misbehaves. So once again, one product I really covet at the moment and have been putting on my wish list again and again and again. And then one product that I really loved this week. And one product that, sadly, didn't quite manage to convince me to love it. So let's start with the weekly crave, which is the Sandawa Natural Mild Cleansing Oil. I have used up my Hamish All Clean Balm and my Claire's, what's it called again? I think Black Currant Cleansing Oil. So I'm currently trying to decide what to try out next, basically. It's not that I don't like the oil cleansers that I am using at the moment. I mean, I did say that I love the Hamish Cleansing Balm. It's really great, but my job being what it is, i.e. me being a person that writes and now also talks about Korean beauty products, I tend to be attracted to new products on a regular basis. And I've always loved trying new things, so I feel it is time for a new cleansing oil. Now, I blame the girls from the Snail Cast for making me yearn for the Sandawa Natural Mild Cleansing Oil, since they discussed it in one of their episodes, although I don't quite remember which episode, to be honest. Well, ever since then, it's been on my wish list, and the brand's Sandawa, which by the way also does a fantastic facial mist that I forgot to mention, which is great for dry skin. I'll put that in the link list so that you know which one I mean. Anyway, the brand Sandawa is known for using camellia oil, camellia seed oil, in a lot of their products, and I am a massive fan of camellia seed oil. Now, the Natural Mild Cleansing Oil contains 61% camellia seed oil, and I think it is very close, if not even a dupe, for the Tatcha cleansing oil. And well, we all know that the Tatcha cleansing oil, Camellia cleansing oil, is, as with all Tatcha products, pretty ridiculously overpriced. Now, the Sandawa cleansing oil is also quite pricey. I'm not gonna lie. It is, I think, something around $35 for a 200 ml bottle. But the Tatcha oil, I think, is something like $50 or even $70 for a much smaller sized bottle. And well, while we're on the subject, I have to say that I also have a bit of a problem with Tatcha's fetishization of Japanese culture and that whole idea of this mysterious, sexy, exotic geisha. Just makes me uncomfortable. But I do love the idea of a camellia seed cleansing oil, since my skin does super well with this particular beauty oil. It is very lightweight. It is a more, I guess, runny oil with a high percentage of skin pampering fatty oleic acids and antioxidants. Though, I mean, I guess a face cleanser doesn't really need antioxidants because you wash it all off. But still, nice to have them. It's also been used for centuries by Koreans and Japanese people in their beauty routines for their body, for their hair, for all sorts of things. It is really a traditional beauty oil. So instead of spending coin on the Tatcha oil, why not go for the cheaper and less orientalist version, the actual Korean brand Sandawa in its oil. It's still a little bit out of my price range at the moment, but hopefully, fingers crossed, one fine day I can try it out. I already feel like I will love it. I'm pretty sure, which is maybe why I hesitate to buy it, because after that, I'll probably be hooked for the rest of my life on this particular cleansing oil. Now, when it comes to the weekly fave, this week it is the Natural Pacific Real Rose Floral Toner. I received this as a PR sample from Style Korean a while ago, and I'd somewhat forgotten about it in the past weeks due to trying out a number of other toners. Lately, though, I started using this product again, and it made me remember why I loved it so much when I first received it. So this is a skin toner that consists of 91% rose flower water, which is, of course, an ingredient that, if people have followed me for a while, they know that I absolutely love this. It is a very soothing, nourishing, and hydrating ingredient. And it smells really nice. What is even more awesome about this toner, although to be fair, this is probably mostly of a decorative nature, is the fact that this toner contains real rose petals that are floating in the toner fluid. I think Fresh Beauty has a similar product, but at, I think, something around 5 times of a higher price. And guys, this looks so pretty. It gives me really happy feels to look at this every day. It's just one of those products where it's okay that maybe it's just decorative, because the happiness you feel will still make your skin glow, whether it's a placebo or not. And to be fair, this product is not just gorgeous to look at. I also really like this toner very much for its hydrating and brightening effect. It is subtle, but it is noticeable if you use it every day for a longer period. Whenever I use this toner, and I love using this especially in the morning, since it is so easily absorbed by my skin due to its watery texture and its low viscosity, my skin just looks smoother and it feels extra soft. It's quite amazing. I also started using this as a sort of extra step right after using my actives at night. I use it on a soaked cotton pad with which I just wipe my entire face very gently. And I feel that this really helps get rid of the gunk that the acids dissolve from the upper layers of my skin. So dead skin cells, dust and dirt residue, etc. It just feels right to do this extra step. It seems like it helps prepare my skin for the next hydrating steps in my skincare routine. Now, for some people, especially those with drier skin types, this toner may not be enough in terms of hydration, but I do consider it to be ideal for oilier and dehydrated skin types. Just have a look at the ingredients lists and then decide whether or not this might be something for you. It is more close to a regular Western toner than the usual ultra hydrating Korean skins, I would say. This product can be purchased from Style Korea. They are the main distributor of Natural Pacific products. They also have a calendula flower version of this toner, which also looks super beautiful and might be more suitable for sensitive skin types, possibly. And now for the sad part, the weekly misbehave, and it is the Purito Galacto-Niacin 97 Power Essence. You may have already read my somewhat, shall we say, wistful review of the Purito essences I agreed to review after the brand approached me. If you haven't read it yet, I'll make sure to link it in the episode notes. It's an English review, so it should hopefully be useful to many of you listening. So I was really excited about this essence since it contains 5% of niacinamide. And I told you earlier how crazy I am at the moment about niacinamide and the things it does for my skin. To make a long story short, because I don't just want to repeat what I wrote in my review, this just did nothing for my skin. Nothing. I really don't know why, but somehow it was like putting water on my skin. I just didn't see any effect from this, and I really tried to use it for a very long time because I didn't want to write a review saying this didn't do anything. I was kind of waiting for it to do something that I could palpably feel or see so that I could write an interesting review. But taking this out of my routine, I really didn't see any difference whether it's in there or not, because sometimes when you feel like a product doesn't do anything for your skin, good thing to do just to double check is to just take it out of your routine and then see if your skin changes for the worse. But with this one, no difference. And it makes me sad because I still love the brand Purito. I really don't know how to pronounce it. I would love to try other skin products from the brand because I like the philosophy behind the products. And if you just read the ingredients lists, they are very pure and clean, and they always have high concentration of the important skincare ingredients. But this essence, it just wasn't for me, even though others seem to love it. So I would advise you to check other people's reviews, especially on Instagram. So yeah, I'm sad about this one. Very sad. But it is the misbehave of the week. So guess what? We're already at the end. That's all today for the K-Beauty podcast. I hope that you can now read all those articles coming out on polyaging and feel extra smug that you totes know what they're talking about. You are in on one of the biggest buzzwords within the beauty industry at the moment and probably for the next years to come. How cool is that? Now, if you found this episode useful and if you would like to follow what I do outside of this podcast, you can find my beauty blog, including the episode notes for this podcast, at sugarpeachesloves.net. You also find a growing number of English K-beauty reviews. So this is basically a bilingual blog by now. It's not just in German. So don't hesitate to have a look at it if you don't speak German. I'm also on Twitter at sugarpeachliebe, and the podcast also has a Twitter account, which is at kbeautypodcast. And of course, I'm also on Instagram at sugarpeachesloves. And on my Instagram, you usually find mostly K-beauty and Asian beauty related pics and Instagram stories. So this should be right up your alley, so make sure to give me a follow. I always feel very happy to get new followers. Apart from finding the recording of this episode on my blog, you can also listen to this and any other The K-Beauty podcast episodes on SoundCloud. If you do enjoy this podcast, please share it with people who you think may also enjoy it, and maybe leave a comment on my SoundCloud page or on my blog posts. Reviewing and rating this podcast on iTunes only takes a few moments and it helps me out tremendously. So please consider being so kind and supporting me and my work that way. Thank you so much to the two people who've already done so. I got a bit emotional reading these really, really nice reviews. Thank you so much to the two women who took the time out to write such kind words. Thank you. I was really moved by this. Thank you. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes to this podcast so that you never miss an episode. They usually come out Thursdays, or at the moment, sometimes it's Fridays. I think it will be for this episode because there was a lot of research to be done. So it took a little bit longer than I anticipated. If you have any questions or queries or suggestions for topics, or maybe you're interested in working with me if you're a brand, you can email me at sugarpeachesloves@gmail.com. We will see each other again next week with a new episode of the K-Beauty podcast. I'm thinking that maybe, Maybe a spring-themed episode would be fun. What do you think, guys? By the way, please never hesitate to send me topic suggestions or questions for maybe one day doing a Q&A episode. That would be a lot of fun, so really, make sure to contact me. I wish you and your skin a wonderful, pollution-free week filled with beautiful new K-Beauty products and as little dust as possible. Until then, happy masking, layering, and petting. Bye, guys. And as always, thank you so much. Thank you. Take care.